welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes in Sports Podcasting. I'm your host, Michael Ciccone. It is February 26, 2015, and today I want to give you all my thoughts about everything sports related. All right, so the first thing I want to cover is Jameis Winston and his success at the Combine. As far as I'm concerned, this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody at all. He was very successful in college, ran a pro-style offense, has all of the weapons to make him a success in the NFL. The only thing that has ever been a question is his character. I've touched on this before in other podcasts about how I said that Jameis Winston will be a failure in the NFL, and I still stand by that. The Combine hasn't changed my opinion whatsoever about him. He can look great all he wants on video. However, his lack of character, his lack of intelligence will hurt him in the long run. Sure, he's a football wizard, has a lot of football intelligence, but on the NFL, the next level, that doesn't really amount to a hill of beans when his talent is right up there with everybody else's, but he only tries half as much. He used to be able to get away with that in Florida State. However, he won't be able to get away with that in the NFL. And frankly, I don't want Jameis Winston to succeed. I don't like him. I don't like Florida State. I don't like Jimbo Fisher. I think Jimbo Fisher is the most morally bankrupt coach of all time. And I think Jameis Winston is a thug that should go to jail and should have been found guilty of rape, like we all know he is. Don't give me that crap that he just got off on a technicality. We all know that he did it, and I believe he did it. However, there just wasn't enough proof to put him behind bars like he rightfully deserves. So I wish him the worst, and I wish Florida State the worst forever. On the flip side of that, I want Marcus Mariota to succeed. This is a guy of high character, has a lot of athletic ability, isn't quite as good of a quarterback as Jameis Winston, but he's almost as good, but he has a lot of character. We see time and time again that the players with a lot of ability but no character and have had shady character issues in the past flop. I mean, we see this with Geno Smith. We've seen this with Johnny Manziel. We see this all the time, but the NFL is willing to give a blind eye to all of that just because they think a player will be productive. I am telling you, NFL, don't make Jameis Winston your number one pick. He does not have any character. He does not practice that hard, and he will flop. And not only will he flop, he will do something stupid that will hurt your team and franchise. In the same token, Dorial Green Beckham predicted to go to the Chiefs, my hometown Kansas City Chiefs, as well as my hometown high school that Dorial Green Beckham went to. I also went to the College of University of Missouri, so it pains me to say this, but Kansas City Chiefs, please, please, please don't take Dorial Green Beckham. You are making a big mistake. Like Jameis Winston, he has all of the ability and all of God's gift of talent in the entire world. He is probably one of the most talented receivers I have seen at his age in a long, long time. But also like Jameis Winston, this guy lacks character, and even more so in Jameis Winston, Dorial Green Beckham is dumber than a box of rocks. I am telling you that this guy cannot read past a fifth grade level, so do you really want him deciphering NFL offenses and thinking what he's going to be doing in a new system? He only succeeded in Mizzou because he was more athletic than everybody. He will not succeed in the NFL because he lacks character. He will get in trouble with the law. He's not intelligent, and I question his work ethic. So Kansas City Chiefs, do not take Dorial Green Beckham. Take somebody else. Dwayne Bowe, he's a decent receiver. Doesn't really try that hard. Doesn't have much moral character. Drops a lot of balls. So he was kind of a flop. Has a lot of talent, but he's kind of a flop. So why do the exact same thing with your first round pick in Dorial Green Beckham? I am tired of the NFL just taking anybody that can run the routes the best and has the best hands. Because
The majority of the time, the people that succeed in the NFL are the ones with the highest character and the ones that are dedicating themselves every single day to their craft, which is unlike Jameis Winston and Dorial Green Beckham. Moving on to another guy of questionable character is Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has been and always will be my favorite golfer ever. He has had a streaky past as far as women goes. I think that cheating on his wife with many different women is deplorable. And I think that he should have lost all the sponsorships that he did. But at the end of the day, he is, God, there could be so many different things that he could be doing to make him worse of a person. Nothing he did was illegal, just morally lacked some judgment. About Tiger Woods' playing ability, he probably won't win another major, guys. I mean, that's just really all there is to it. He's too old. He is injured. He is just mentally not all there. I was listening to Pardon the Interruption, and Tony Kornheiser pointed out that while he might have all the physical abilities to still succeed, he is mentally not there. After having all of these back surgeries and leg surgeries, it would only be human to question, will this swing twig my back, or will this next swing, you know, hurt me and put me out for several months? I know that any human, after they've had a series of getting hurt, they would question anything that they would do. So I just think mentally, Tiger Woods isn't all there, and he won't win another major. He might win another tournament with less stiff of a competition, but this isn't the Tiger Woods from 5 to 6 years ago, folks. This is old Tiger that has been plagued by injuries and is just mentally not ready to put in all the practice time it takes to get better. And then this is the Tiger Woods that every shot he takes, he has a chance of getting hurt again. We know that, and he knows that. Kind of like Derrick Rose. We will never see the MVP Derrick Rose ever again. It just won't happen. Give up on it. It won't ever happen. He's been hurt so many times. He's hurt his knees, legs. It was found out he was out for the rest of the season last night. He is one of those players that it just wasn't meant to be. He's an explosive player. He relies on his explosiveness to get around the defense, and as well as his jump shot more so than others. With point guards, when you have all of these injuries, there's not a whole lot coming back. There's a lot of pain going through his whole entire body. And almost like, and kind of like Tiger Woods, he's just not all there mentally, because he knows his track record. He knows that if he takes a step that is potentially not perfect, then he will be injured. And not only will he be injured, he will be injured badly. Like, I'm talking season-ending, ankle, leg-shattering, knee-shattering injuries for a long time. We've all heard the interviews in the past of him saying that he wants to be able to see his son's graduation in several years when he's done in basketball. And honestly, even if he stops after this this latest injury, he's still going to have some pain for the rest of his life. I mean, you just don't have that many breaks and that many tears and that many fractures and walk away from it without injury. The only way for Derrick Rose to at least make some sort of a comeback is to adjust how he plays his game. He can't be the take-it-to-the-hole explosive player like he has been throughout his entire career. He has to be more of a jump shooter. He has to facilitate his teammates better. He has to be more of a role player. No longer can the game center around Derrick Rose like the Bulls have wanted it to. It has to center around somebody else. A lot of people are wanting Jimmy Butler to step up, and I think Jimmy Butler is a great idea, but he's no Derrick Rose in his prime. If the Bulls want to center around Joakim Noah, that's fine. Joakim Noah is a fantastic player. Jimmy Butler, great player. Pau Gasol, a little bit on the older side, still a great player. Doug McDermott, I think he would be a fantastic NBA player in a few years, and he's already giving us glimpses of being a great player. So I think the Bulls will be fine. Certainly this year they won't be vying for any championships. However, they will make the playoffs. They will get in the finals, I believe. I believe that they can make the finals barely, but they're going to end up losing out to whom? That remains to be seen. Golden State Warriors will reign supreme. I mean, their team is stacked. Oh, gosh. Who else would even challenge Golden State? I just don't think it. I mean, maybe down the road, Houston? No, they're not going to win. Yeah, I mean, I don't see anybody challenging Golden State. Atlanta's certainly not going to do it. They don't have the star players. While they play well as a team, they definitely don't have the team aspect like the Spurs had when they won, and they just don't have as many talented players, even though four of them went to the All-Star break or went and played on the All-Star team. But I feel like nowadays almost anybody can get onto the All-Star team. I mean, switching sports, Matt freaking Castle made the NFL All-Star team. He made the NFL All-Star team when he had more interceptions than completions. Switching gears to college basketball, as you all know, or as some of you know maybe, I went to the University of Missouri, so my allegiance is to the SEC. But I think one of the best ran teams that I have ever seen has been Kentucky in these last 3 years. I think Coach Calipari has definitely found something as far as one and dones. I was reading somewhere on ESPN that the only place or the only team that had more McDonald's All-Americans than Kentucky was the McDonald's All-American All-Star game. So Coach Calipari is sitting with all of these hyperly talented players, and because he's a fantastic coach that knows how to deal with the star power, that knows how to deal with all of these different personalities, he has molded them into a finely tuned basketball playing machine. They're not as good of a teamwork wise as, you know, a Duke, a UNC, something like that, but what Kentucky has that none of these other teams have is the hyper talent. Sure, all the top 10 teams have a lot of talent, but they don't have four McDonald's All-Americans. They don't have the entire starting lineup going to the NBA next year like Coach Calipari does, and I think that's brilliant. You know, maybe that it's kind of not true to the whole college experience, but Coach Calipari is trying to win ball games, folks. He's not trying to get these guys an education. He's not trying to make these guys better human beings. He's trying to make these guys basketball assassins. And we have seen in the last several years that that is exactly what he is going to do. At this time, I don't think that he's going to be successful as a Roy Williams or as a Coach K. Certainly not a Coach K. But I think that if he keeps going the way he's going and holds on to his one and done, recruit the best mentality and train them like pros mentality, then he'll be one of the best five coaches of all time. So it's really exciting watching Kentucky play. I always think that I'm watching some sort of professional basketball team play. And for the most part, that's pretty much true, because all of them next year will play in the NBA, whether it be starting or in a reserve role, but they will see NBA minutes next year. And I think that's just fascinating. Switching gears to the MLB. And sorry that I'm switching gears so much, everybody. I'm just trying to speak what's coming to my mind, and my mind can't focus on anything at one point, and so I just am going about a mile a minute, and so that's why I am all over the place. But the MLB, specifically, excuse me, Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees. Does Alex Rodriguez realize that the Yankees don't want him back? I mean, it's like going to a party with all of your worst enemies. No one wants you at that party. The only one that wants you at that party is you. And that's like what A-Rod is doing with the Yankees. The Yankees have tried to burn their bridges with him. They have tried to get rid of him. But he is too expensive to let go. And no one, not any other team, is stupid enough to take him. Do I see him starting third base this year? No, I do not. I don't think he is good enough. I think without the juice, I think without the practice and his advanced age, he just won't be good enough to compete for third base. He'll be in the DH position, sure. What do I see him hitting next season? About 215, 220, about 10 homers to 15 homers, about 50, 45 to 50 RBIs. Really not a great season. That's what I expect. A-Rod's one of those guys, like a Jameis Winston, that I wish the absolute worst for. Not that he juiced. I don't mind the juicing per se. I do mind that he lied about it several times. I do mind that he paid to cover it up. And basically the cloak and daggering he's done with anybody that has cared about him. He's just a dishonest person. I would say he's a morally corrupt person. I wish him the worst. I don't think that he will do very well. And I'm sure after the Yankees, he probably won't be signed to another team. Just because any team that signs him is opening themselves up to many, many, many people, many fans not getting behind their team because Alex Rodriguez is just not welcome. As a Cardinals fan, I would hate if he would became a Cardinal. I mean, if he became third baseman, yeah, he could probably be a third baseman on the Cardinals, but the Cardinals don't have people that are going to be distractions on their team. If they do, they let them go. So it would just be a travesty if he was to go to a high caliber, high character team like the Cardinals. So I think that once he's done with the Yankees, we will never see him on the MLB, on an MLB roster ever again. However, I'm sure we'll hear from him again, just kind of like we're hearing from Lance Armstrong, which, again, I don't mind that he juiced, but morally corrupt person, implicated everybody, and is just a bad person. So, God, it's this time of the year, folks. It's kind of boring if you're a sports fanatic because there's not a whole lot going on. Baseball's not quite here yet. Football's kind of over, or football is really over. Basketball is in the second half of the season, so we don't have to worry about playoff basketball. So it's just kind of in the dead zone of sports, which is kind of boring, but I'm sure we will all make it out alive, and I'm sure there will be a few exciting things that happen between now and the beginning of baseball. All right, guys, thank you all for listening to me, if you have indeed listened to me. I'm going to start to try to do longer podcasts. I'm going to make them uncut and unedited, so it's all raw. What I do with my 5-minute podcast is basically I just edit the 10-minute conversations I have down to 5 minutes. While I think that's good in some formats, I really like to be given the platform for a longer soliloquy so I can kind of accentuate my point and so I don't have to summarize everything like I have to with my 5-minute podcasts. Again, thank you all for listening to me. Don't forget to follow me at Mr. Fantasy Freak. That is my Twitter account. If you follow me, I will follow you back. Again, thanks everybody. Let me know what you think. All right. See ya.
Who turned the light off? I guess that's just another obstacle I gotta fight off. Back when I was young, they always told me I was gifted, and soon everything be different and that attitude shifted. I never asked a damn person for a damn thing. I just want the music always going, keep me dancing. I just want the record always spinning everlasting, so I can make the best of every moment of my passing.